விப்ருச்சே விஷ்ரவ்ய விப்ரா இதி க்ருத்யதாயாம் சர்வாத்மனா ம்ரியமாணேஷ்ய க்ருத்யம் சுத்தம் ச தத்ராம்ருஷதாபியுக்தா ததஸ்ய வா ப்ருச்சமேமம் விப்ருச்சே விஷ்ரவ்ய விப்ரா இதி க்ருத்யதாயாம் சர்வாத்மா ம்ரியமாணேஷ்ய க்ருத்யம் சுத்தம் ச தத்ராம்ருஷதாபியுக்தா ததஸ்ய வா ப்ருச்சமேமம் விப்ருச்சே விஷ்ரவ்ய விப்ரா இதி க்ருத்யதாயாம் சர்வாத்மனா ம்ரியமாணேஷ்ய க்ருத்யம் சுத்தம் ச தத்ராம்ருஷதாபியுக்தா விஸ்ரவ்ய விப்ராமிதி க்ருத்யதாயாம் சர்வாத்மனா ம்ரியமாணேஷ்ய க்ருத்யம் சுத்தம் ச தத்ராம்ருஷதாபியுக்தா ததஸ்ய வா ப்ருச்சமேமம் விப்ருச்சே மாதாஜி சுத்தம் ச தத்ராம்ருஷதாபியுக்தா ததா அஸ் சச் ச அண்ட் வ அண்டு யூ ப்ருச்சயம் தட் இஸ் தட் விச் இஸ் டு பி ஆஸ்ட் இமம் திஸ் விப்ருச்சே பெக் டு ஆஸ்க் யூ விஷ்ரப்யம் ட்ரஸ்ட்வர்தி விப்ரஹ பிராமணஸ் இதி தஸ் க்ருத்யதாயாம் அவுட் ஆஃப் ஆல் டிஃபரெண்ட் டியூட்டீஸ் சர்வாத்மனா பை எவ்ரி ஒன் மிரியமானை எஸ்பெஷலி தோஸ் ஹூ ஆர் ஜஸ்ட் அபவுட் டு டை ச and krutyam dutiful shuddham perfectly correct cha and tatra therein amrushata by complete deliberation abhiyuktah just befitting translation O trustworthy brahmanas, I now ask you about my immediate duty. Please, after proper deliberation, tell me of the unalloyed duty of everyone in all circumstances, and specifically of those who are just about to die. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the king has placed two questions before the learned sages. The first question is what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances? And the second question is, what is the specific duty of one who is to die very shortly? Out of the two, the question relating to the dying man is most important because everyone is a dying man, either very shortly or after 100 years. The duration of life is immaterial, but the duty of a dying man is very important. Maharaj Parikshit placed these two questions before Sukadev Goswami also on his arrival, and practically the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning from the second canto of the last 12th canto, deals with these two questions. The conclusion arrived at thereof is that devotional service of the Lord Shri Krishna, as it is confirmed by the Lord Himself in the last phases of Bhagavad Gita, is the last word in relation to everyone's permanent duty in life. Maharaj Parikshit was already aware of this fact, but he wanted the great sages assembled there to unanimously give their verdict on his conviction, so that he might be able to go on with his confirmed duty without controversy. He has especially mentioned the word Shuddha, or perfectly correct. For transcendental realization or self-realization, many processes are recommended by various classes of philosophy. Some of them are first-class methods, some of them are second or third-class methods. The first-class method demands that one gives up all other methods and surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus be saved from all sins and their reactions. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामय्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं. वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादं सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च. नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने. वांछाकल्पदरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा. सो आई सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज एंड दोज हु आर watching this lecture online. So there is a French writer, his name is Voltaire, and he made a very interesting and very powerful quote he has given. He says that judge a man by his questions rather than his answers. So the great leaders, they have the skills of asking these powerful questions. And in this verse, we can see that Parikshit Maharaj, who is one of the greatest personalities, is one of the Mahajans, and he has asked these two questions. So we will briefly discuss on this aspect of questions and what are the different types of questions and what happens with those questions. So we'll just try to understand that part. Second thing I would like to touch upon, the here the verse begins with the trustworthy brahmanas. So we'll talk a little bit on the trust part, what, how to establish that trust and how you can practice trustworthiness. And the third part we will cover about the two questions which have been raised here. So as far as the questions are concerned, there are various types of questions. So one type of question is a probing questions. So in this probing type of questions, you ask for more details on a particular matter, you know. So this is a probing question to find out more details, details of what is going to happen. So we can see that when Lord Balaram came to Hastinapur, you know, he did not enter the Hastinapur. He was waiting outside in the garden, outside the city. And he sent Uddhava ahead to probe, you know, Dhritarashtra, to find out the intention. So these are the kind of questions which brings out the intention of the person. So that is one type of question. The second question, type of question, is rhetorical question. Now these kind of questions do not have answers. The question itself is an answer. So to, just to give an example, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks in the first chapter, 1.35, he asks the questions that what is the use of this war? You know, when we are not going to enjoy the fruits, whenever we are going to kill all the relatives and my masters, so what is the use of this? And he declares, I don't want to fight there. So there is no question, there is no, he was not expecting the answer for that question. He just wanted that this is the fact. So these are kind of rhetorical questions. The third type is of funneling question. You know, these are broad, open-minded, open-ended questions before gradually introducing more narrowly scoped open-ended as well as closed-ended questions. So, for this, we can look at the example from Chaitanya Charitamrita in Madhya Leela, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is interacting with Ramananda Rai. So we know the whole episode, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu keeps on telling, and we will repeat, we'll come back to this incident in this particular session again and again, that he was going deeper and deeper and deeper. So initially the question was broad, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking me, go deeper into it, go deeper in. So this makes the person to go deeper into their consciousness and understand what is the right thing. And the last, the fourth type of question is about the leading questions. And these questions that encourage or guide respondent towards a desired answer. So this particular verse also, Srila Prabhupada said in Srimad Bhagavatam, this verse and the purport, he says that beginning from the second canto to the last 12th canto deals with these two questions. So you can imagine how powerful were these two questions. This went right from 2nd canto to 12th canto. So similar questions were asked right in the beginning by the sages of Naimisharanya. So they also asked the similar type of questions, that what is the ultimate benefit to the mankind, what are the essence of all the scriptures, why did Lord Hari took birth in the womb of Devaki, and wonderful deeds of the Lord like creating, maintenance and destroying, what are the wonderful deeds Lord performed, and also the leelas, the activities of the Lord Hari, you know, in various incarnations in this universe, and where the religion will take shelter, when the Lord will leave this and go back to his abode. So what will happen? So these are the kind of questions, these six questions actually leads to the entire Bhagavatam. So many such questions can have contributed not only to the people who are present there, but it is contributing and will contribute to the benefit of people in future also. Now we can categorize these questions into some additional categories. Now one is that bottom to top, somebody, a junior person, is asking the question to the senior question. So in that, one is that the kind of questions which are the questions which could be in the mode of goodness. Like Arjuna is asking Krishna, you know, in 2.7, the famous verse of Karpanya Dosha Aparadha Sabha, he's saying that now I am confused and my duty have lost all, confused about my duty and I have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Now we can see that just few minutes back we discussed that how he had asked the rhetorical question in 1.37 and here now he is at this stage, he is at the acceptance level that okay, now I have a problem. I need solution and I need to take shelter. So that is the serious inquiry which, you know, Arjuna is doing to Krishna. And what is the duty? And this is exactly is raised here in the in this particular verse also by Parikshit Maharaj. He is also asking, what is my duty now? You know, I am a dying man, so what is my duty? So like that. So these are a serious inquiries. You know, we can consider that categorized in the inquiries or questions which are in the mode of goodness. The second type of things are like challenging questions, or we can put it into the category of passionate question. Basically, that is the thought process. So in this kind of questions, there is no higher purpose. And it is either to impress the person to whom the question is being, or the audience, or to actually put down the speaker or the authority. So these are the kind of questions which are there. And Srila Prabhupada faced many such questions. Like one person, he was asking Prabhupada that, you know, Prabhupada, this empire building, how many doors are there, how many windows are there? So that question had no meaning, because Prabhupada had said that, you know, all the answers are there in all the scriptures. And he was trying to challenge these kind of questions. So these are the kind of challenging questions which can come across. And a third is a category is more in the mode of ignorance. So again, so there are no questions, or the questions which has no meaning again. So when Prabhupada was interacting with some of the disciples, and there was a discussion about Golok Vrindavan and everything, where the soul comes from. So they were asking Prabhupada, where I have come from? I have come from Golok Vrindavan, or I have come from Brahmajyoti? So Prabhupada told the story that, you know, how does that matter? It is the story of a person who has been pushed into the water, and another person is giving the robe to him that come out. And this person is saying, but who pushed me? The person is saying that please at least hold the robe, come out. But he has the inquiry. So these are the typical jnani type of people who just keeps asking questions but don't act upon it. There is no practical application of that. So that is one type of question, you know. But Prabhupada gave the practical answers. He said, just practice this process of devotional service. Think about where you are going to go. Whether you want to go to Brahmajyoti or Golok Vrindavan, you choose. So the destination and the journey, that is more important than this kind of questions. I personally feel that even when I came first time to this temple, and I came here because there was an interview of Gopal's Garden School which was going on, and we are looking for admission for my daughter, and that's why somehow somebody told me that you should come here. So I was here. And from this place, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was giving the class, and he was talking about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's yatra to different, to South India yatra and all those things. He was mentioning about that. And my spiritual background was only two things. Tomorrow is Ashadi Ekadashi, and earlier was Mahashivratri. So only Sabudana Khichdi, which I liked.
So for that I told my mother that, okay, I will practice fasting for these 2 days. So that was my spiritual background, nothing else. And Maharaj was telling, and I was absolutely blank what is going on. First of all, never heard about Lord Chaitanya. And only thing which clicked me when Maharaj said that, that time there was no email to communicate to the devotees whereabouts of the person. And that was the only thing which clicked. Because I was from IT background, I felt that in a spiritual discourse, there could be some mention of emails also. That was a cultural difference which I was having. So I thought, aisa bhi hota hai. And when, of course, Sankirtan Prabhu and the team, their guest reception, their announcement was done, you are the first, like, who are the person who have come for the first time can meet there. And I also went there because they said that, okay, you'll get some gift and some Mahaprasad and all. So I went. And when I sat there, the person, devotee, maybe Radhapati Prabhu was also there, part of that team. And they asked, do you have any questions? And the people around me who are new people, but they were having some idea at least. They were asking about soul, atma kya rehta hai. I never had any idea about this, what is atma. Atma means in a different understanding we had. So never had that understanding. So I was blank. I said, I have no question because I don't know anything. So it was a blank slate. So, sometimes these are like, there's no question. There is a situation is that people don't know because they don't know anything about that subject matter. So that is another type of thing. Then there is questions which can come from the top. The authority is asking questions to the people at the junior level. Now again, here we look at the questions which have been asked by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Ramananda Rai. Now this, interestingly, when I was going through this whole pastime, right from the 57th verse, this conversation starts and it ends at 259. So almost 200 verses, this discussion back and forth is going on. And how many times Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking the question again and again. Tell me more. It is interesting to, probably somebody might have done some study already on that, how many times. But at least 90 to 20 times Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking the same questions. That go, tell me more. Initially, of course, he rejects, this is very external. This is very basic. I don't expect this. So that lad. And so these are the type of questions which brings the best out of people. So when Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that time Prabhupada had different conception. He was like more onto how we can get freedom for India. That was his thought process. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur brought the best out of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was actually not interested in going there. But because of his friend, he went. If that friend had not taken, probably we did not know whether we would have been present here. So he brought the best by asking him and telling him that, okay, these are the things which you need to do. You need to go to the Western countries and translate these books in English and preach to them. So that is how it is. And Srila Prabhupada asked in the same Guru Parampara, Guru Shishya Parampara, he also asked similar type of questions to his disciples and brought the best out of them when they started going thinking here and there. So this is the best way, the best coaches, they use this methodology to bring out the best of their audience. What we can do based on what is your knowledge. So use their knowledge to bring out the best from them. So in Bhagavad Gita also we can see that Krishna and Arjuna, the conversation is there. And I was reading one article which is written by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. And in that he mentioned that Krishna questions Arjuna's questions. Now Arjuna was asking questions. And the best part and the good part is that Arjuna allowed himself to be also questioned. Many times we don't like to be questioned by anyone. We feel that, okay, I am right, I know everything. But Arjuna is allowing that, okay, Krishna please ask. And that time Krishna was not his master or this thing. He was considering him like a friend. And especially to allow a friend to be, to ask question is a big thing. So he asked, and that, clarified that how he was misidentifying himself with his body. And how the materialistic paradigm which he was having was actually fundamentally wrong. So after all this conversation, what happened to Arjuna? There was a transformation. He had a new vision of his life. And he realized what is his spiritual nature and the divine essence and the devotional purpose. It was not only meant for Arjuna. It all meant for us. When we read Bhagavad Gita, we have to put ourselves in that condition so that we also understand that, I am asking these questions and I am realizing now Krishna is revealing that knowledge to me by the means of this type of questions and answers. The third type which we can look at is we talk about bottom to top, top to bottom, and then there is a discussion or questions which takes place amongst the equals. So many times nowadays we see that, the best way of doing this is through panel discussions. Many times any conferences or any places we go, there is a panel discussion. Why these panel discussions? Because they discuss and share their realizations, their different perspective. And there is a moderator who actually, combines all these things together to present what exactly is, what can be beneficial. So everybody gets different understanding and with different realizations from that. So this not only, one is that when this kind of discussion take place, the participants who are on the panel, they also get benefited, and the audience also, they also get benefited. So many of us probably have experienced this during our Pune Yatras, that how all the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they used to sit together on the Vyasasana or together, and then there is to be discussion, there is to be question answers. And for one question, there could be different perspectives which were given by different devotees. Some of the Prabhupada disciples like Mataji's and Prabhuji's also, and Sannyasi's also. So it's a wonderful way of learning. And we see this in this very much temple also. The Vyasasana here is not a small single Vyasasana. So many people can sit. And the whole purpose of was that vision is behind that is that many can sit here and, discuss Krishna Katha with the audience. So like that, here in this particular verse, coming back to this verse also, Parikshit Maharaj, Prabhupada writes that he was aware. It's not that he was not aware about that, what are the duties, but still he is putting across to all the sages that, now you deliberate. He was not saying that, one of you please answer. He said, please deliberate. Deliberate means think about it, maybe discuss about it, and give me the verdict. So that is what was, the thought process of Parikshit Maharaj, and that is what the outcome which we are getting when we are discussing about the, when we are discussing with the equals. So now the question comes that whom to ask? And that's where the trustworthy part comes, that in this particular, that, trustworthy brahmanas. So let us touch upon this, why these were trustworthy brahmanas, how a person can become trustworthy. So to become trustworthy, one thing which is there, that it has to be, the person has to be covered, in the triangle of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. When he is inside that triangle of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, then the person can be trustworthy. And we can also look at another overlapping thing is Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, apart from that, is knowledge, skills and values. The Shastras gives the knowledge and the skills and values are given by Guru and Sadhu. Of course, even they give knowledge also. But the Shastras may not be able to give you the exact skills according to time, place and circumstances. That has to be given by the Guru. It may be a Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru. But they play that role of doing this. So that is the correlation of this. So when we have that kind of a combination, then a person becomes trustworthy. So being trustworthy is a consistent, it's not once in a way activity, it's a consistent activity. And you have to deliberate how we can build up these trustworthy actions. And there are no shortcuts for doing this. And visible consistency and alignment between what you intend to do and what you actually do. These are the things which require to be trustworthy. And the trust begins with us. Why with us? Because it begins with our attitudes, it begins with our intentions, and it is with behavior. And if you look at all these three things, they are in our control. They are not in the control of somebody else. So that's where the trust begins with ourselves, not with somebody else. Because normally what we expect is that, okay, that person should show trust on me rather than I start showing trust on others. So we are the one, we have to take the first step to show trust in others. And there is a reciprocation on that. So there are three C's of trust. I learned in one of the seminars which I had attended. So these are three C's. Of course, this has come from the foundation of this C's are basically purely spiritual. So one C is the trust of character. And second trust C is of trust of communication. And third is the trust of capability. So, we will look at some of the points, not all the points, but some of the features of this from the life of Prabhupada's, how he has actually practiced this, various type of three C's of trust. So beginning with trust of character, so one of the how you show the trust of character is basically the result is that generally trustworthy person who can be counted on even in tough situations. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the instruction and Prabhupada was traveling, and Prabhupada's journey is not just about the ship, the cargo ship on which he went, but entire till his end of his life he went through various situations. But very prominently everyone knows that how in a cargo ship at that age of 70 he went and faced so many difficult situations, including heart attacks and stroke, seasickness. So and reaching there, with a background of a purely spiritual personality, staying in Vrindavan and going there and staying with all these people who were hippies at that time. So that is the he faced those tough situations in that difficult situation. Many sannyasis, some of them attempted on the instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, but they could not sustain. They came back, but Prabhupada did that. So another thing what they do is, whatever they say they will do, they do it. So Prabhupada had promised Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that I will print the books in English and preach in the Western countries. So he kept that promise. And if you see the earlier days when Prabhupada was here in India, he had no money. And he started with the Back to God and a magazine that time. And he was distributing it personally on the roads. And one time he even fainted. So we cannot understand, unless we go deeper, that what kind of pain Prabhupada had taken to actually demonstrate that how when there is a commitment to the spiritual master, whatever may be the situation, I will fulfill that. Another thing is they establish healthy boundaries and expectations. So when Prabhupada went to America, he did not compromise on the philosophy. He did not make twist that, okay, these are Western people, let me, you know, adjust the philosophy according to their culture and their needs. He was preaching boldly, he was talking the facts, but he created the boundaries. He actually made them practice the four regulatory principles, which itself is a big boundary for many of them who are actually breaking all these four regulatory principles and make them chant 16 rounds. Another thing is that they support others as they strive to learn, develop and thrive. So Prabhupada supported his disciples whenever they were being criticized. So many times Prabhupada disciples, especially the white disciples or foreign country disciples, they went and they tried to speak, tried to practice or, you know, even recite verses. Prabhupada, they were being criticized. Many times the smart brahmanas here, they were not happy to see them, that, you know, how these people are, you know, given this opportunity to even deity worship. We cannot imagine that what Prabhupada has done. But yes, whenever there was a criticism, Prabhupada stood like a rock and, you know, helped them to grow. And today, now it has been accepted worldwide. And in India also now, people are appreciating the contribution which is done by Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON whole as a movement. So, second trust is, the second C is trust of communication. And it means that the person speaks the truth and encourages others to do the same. So, as I mentioned here, Prabhupada spoke directly from Bhagavad Gita. He spoke from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the foundation was very clear, and he just, based on that, he just went on talking to the disciples, engaged them, taught them to teach others also, right? So he was speaking the truth, and he was encouraging others also to preach the same message. These people, they realize that we can be trusted to give and share key information. So people make them feel comfortable talking to them and share their heart. And so we can see that whoever came in touch with Srila Prabhupada became so receptive, they became so attracted to Srila Prabhupada and various ways, like sometimes the way Prabhupada walked, you know, with his head high, sometimes the way Prabhupada used to eat prasad, so many things. You know, people just get attracted. And right from the children to this elderly people across the world, and people who are educated background, people who had absolutely no educational background, hippies, everyone, they came and they were like, they were opening their heart to Prabhupada. They were really giving this. And Prabhupada used, Prabhupada had that knack of making negotiations. Because whenever he used to meet such great people and he used to buy some things or do something, he used his amazing charm, the spiritual charm, to actually attract them. They opened and they just said, okay, you take this free of cost, which we can be unimaginable. We know how George Harrison, you know, gave the whole palace, you know, to Srila Prabhupada for the service of to Lord Krishna. So they no longer engage in gossip and feed the rumor mill. So we have Prabhupada has written in one of the conversation in a letter that we have sacrificed our life for Krishna's service. Where is the scope for sleeping and gossiping. So Prabhupada never encouraged and always discouraged whenever there was a complaint which was coming for each other or some kind of a gossiping. Prabhupada immediately smashed it, because that is detrimental. The prajalpa is the detrimental for the devotees' community. They compassionately bring issues and concerns directly to the individual concern. So, Prabhupada was very upfront, and sometimes he used to chastise his disciples also. And that chastisement had the foundation of compassion. So that's why many devotees, in spite of, whenever sometimes we read that, you know, Prabhupada chastised this person like this, and still this person is still in the movement. Today, if we say something to one devotee, something which is some critical or corrective feedback is given, you know, then you start, okay, I'll back out from the service, I will not do this, you know, I don't want to be a part of this community. That's what happens. But how that all these devotees, they stayed? Of course, some might have them left, but because Prabhupada had that compassion, and so that's why he was able to even chastise them in a way that they used to accept. I remember one pastime which I had read, and in Africa, South Africa, when Prabhupada was opening the books, the newly printed Bhagavatam canto had come. Prabhupada was opening and he was very curious, excited to actually see the Bhagavatam coming. And one devotee who was clicking photographs, his service was to click photographs. And he was clicking, and Prabhupada was getting irritated with that click sound. And Prabhupada chastised him. And he felt so bad. He said that, I have displeased Prabhupada. And he just left from that place. He went and, he was repenting. He was sitting at some remote place and chanting. And then devotees realized that, okay, this devotee is not to be seen. So Prabhupada asked that, where is he? He said, we don't know where he has gone. So he said, please go and find out. So somehow then he called up from wherever he was and said that, I am here, I am feeling bad and all. So then devotees went, brought him back, and Prabhupada, you know, hold him to close to his heart and said that, I never meant to hurt you, but it was just that the importance of this Bhagavatam is more than clicking my photographs. You know, if you store this Bhagavatam in your heart, then the camera, so then that will be achievement. So that is how the Prabhupada was, you know. And the third part is of trust of capability. So the trust of capability is like, one is the identify and develop the value that others could be adding to you and the organization. So Prabhupada identified the potential of devotees and empowered them to perform unimaginable tasks. We can look at this, that how Prabhupada, the four couples, how they went to UK, and then they met George Harrison and the whole thing took place. And like that, many places. Somebody went to China, somebody went to Pakistan, Amazon forest, so many places, unimaginable, Russia. So he actually nurtured them in a wonderful way. Now, another part of trust of capability is awareness and also comfort of our shortcomings. That I also have some shortcomings. Now, we may say that, oh, Prabhupada had no shortcomings. But he knew that his age is not with him. There is a very short period. So he was actually aware about that fact. So he was so fast in, you know, doing the translation, recording it and all those things. And whenever the person, the doctor whom he met, he was a drunkard doctor, and he told Prabhupada that, you know, you should start walking. And then Prabhupada took that seriously. That if I have to be to sustain for a long time, I need to take care of my health and I have to do this. So he was aware about his shortcomings. And they are expert and trusted coach and deeply competent professional. So Prabhupada was very expert in everything. He was expert in cooking, you know, the way he used to make feast and feed hundreds of devotees single-handedly. So that's an amazing thing. Right from packing off even the trunk. No, he was expert in doing that also. So I don't know who, but Prabhupada's secretary, one secretary was explaining that there was not the bag was not sufficient able to pack the whole thing, and it was not getting locked. So Prabhupada told him that, okay, you wait. And Prabhupada sat on the trunk, and the trunk got pressed, and then he said, now you lock it. So he was that expert, even the simplest of the things, and he was expert in building so many temples. It's an amazing thing how one person can go around in such a short span and build 108 temples all across the world. So he was expert in that also. These are some trust related aspects. Now, last few minutes, I'll just talk about the two questions being raised in this particular verse. That one question is, what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances? And the second is, what is the specific duty of one who is to die very shortly? So, various hats everyone wears. Whenever, whatever may be the person we are, whichever varna or ashram we are, we wear different hats. Sometimes we have the hat of a son, daughter, husband, wife, father, you know, disciple. So we have to be aware about these various hats which we are wearing and our contribution in those specific area. So that is the prescribed duty which everyone has to be clear. In Bhagavad Gita 2.47, the Karpanya Vidya, that verse, here, there are three considerations Prabhupada has mentioned. One is the prescribed duty, which is enjoined in terms of one's acquired modes of material nature. So, whatever modes of nature, based on that, we have to perform our prescribed duties. As for the Varna Ashram. And then second is capricious work, you know, which has no sanction of the authority or the scriptures. So we have to avoid that. And the third is inaction, means not to perform one's prescribed duty at all. And Arjuna was in that state at one point of time. He was a Kshatriya, but he was not willing to fight for the cause of Dharma. So Krishna actually convinced him. So this verse also basically says that we can remember this by natto. Natto means not attached to outcome. You know, natto is also North Atlantic Treaty Organization, but we can remember this verse as natto, that not attached to our outcome of whatever results are there. And in this, again going back to the Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, in that Ramananda Rai, actually in the first conversation he quotes from Vishnu Purana. And here, there also he says that Lord Vishnu is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the situation of the four Varnas and Ashramas. So, he talks about that, about Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and then Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. So, if we are properly executing these prescribed duties, they will be very peaceful and are not disturbed by the material conditions which are there around. And if one neglects, then he becomes transgressor and candidate for the hellish condition. Now, the second question which is important is, what is the specific duty of a person who is dying shortly? Now, Prabhupada in this purport also says that actually this duty, we don't know when are we going to die. This duty starts right from the time we take birth. maybe right from the womb, if somebody is actually doing that Garbhadhan Sanskar, people are aware about that, then they can do that. But actually it starts at very, very young age. The person or the child may not be aware, but the responsibility of parents to give is there important. So Prabhupada is emphasizing that everyone is dying and anybody can die at any point of time. So I came across one small clip, very funny clip. And in that clip, there was a scenario that, you know, husband, wife and their son, you know, they are going in a fair. And while they are going at one place, lot of people have crowded. And one magician is performing magics there. So they also go and stand. Everybody is curious when somebody is doing magic. Everybody likes the magic part. So he stands there and they are watching. And they are enjoying. And this magician, he calls this person, the man, that come. So he hesitates. I don't want to go there and get some magic performed with. But the wife, she pushes him. No, go. Let us have fun. And the person goes there, and this magician, he performs whatever mantras and plays his damru, and you know, throws his hands like this, and that person becomes a pigeon. Right in front of everybody's eyes. And then this wife, the clip, the wife's face is shown that she's smiling that, okay, my husband has become pigeon. And she's enjoying, the child is also enjoying that, okay, my father has become a pigeon. And that's the same time, you know, next to that place, in all these jatras, people sell balloons. So one of the person who is selling balloons, he is using that helium gas to fill up the balloon. And somehow while filling up that balloon, it blows up. And as it blows up, the noise of that, you know, of cracking of that balloon makes all the pigeons run away. And this pigeon, husband of this lady, he also, you know, flies away and gets mixed with other pigeons. And then they are searching that, where is my husband? Where is my father? You know? So then the message comes, the life is short, anything can happen to anyone. So buy insurance. So it's an insurance company. So which that is how creatively they try to sell their things. But it is applicable for all of us that, you know, when we will leave, we don't know. So we have wonderful examples like, you know, how Haridas Thakur, you know, he was so attached when he was leaving body to the lotus feet of the Lord. He was saying that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I just want to hold your lotus feet in my heart and I just want to chant. So that is his consciousness when he was leaving the body. And we see from Bhagavatam that even the Bharat Maharaj, at the time of leaving the body, he unfortunately at that point of time, he got attached so much to that deer. The deer become dear to him so much that, you know, he took birth as a deer in the next life. So at the time of death, like in Bhagavad Gita again 8.5, it is said that whoever at the time end of life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So that verse is there. So this remembering of the Lord is the most important thing. And that remembering can't start directly at the time of death. It has to start from today. You know, then that is how it is. So, Prabhupada writes in this that the ultimate goal is, there are various prescribed methods are there, but the best and the first class method is to surrender. And that is the Sarva Dharman Parityajya, Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Mim Ashucha. So that verse is important. So when one is that our duty, what we are supposed to do, and the duty of us to help others who are in a condition of leaving their body, that is also important. Many times that part is not discussed on this, but as a practicing devotees or Vaishnavas, we have to think at least in that compassion. So the care which is given at the end of life is very important. So I was I'll end this with this small narration of in our hospital, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, our spiritual care department. So our Ramcharan Prabhu, he was sharing me with some stories, and he told that there was one lady who came all the way from Nagpur, and nobody knew from where she came. Well, of course, her husband was there. She came, and she came to the emergency, and her condition was not good. So the spiritual care was informed that, okay, please come and give the end of life care. They normally give, they chant for that person, they give them Ganga Jal, Yamuna Jal, Tulsi, Raj, this thing, everything, that is, all those rituals are also performed. And he was doing that, and he had received a call from a person that, you know, from a devotee, saying that there are devotees who have come from China, they will come. This call he had received in the morning, and this incident was taking place in the afternoon. And he said they will come, but he did not tell when they will come. And now he was in the emergency, and he receives the call again, saying that those devotees have already come, they are in the hospital, you know, can you please attend? So they called him, and he said, now what to do? I am here giving service to this particular lady who has come out from nowhere. She is here. So he told them that, you know, would you like to do perform or just do a parikrama of the hospital, take a tour, or you want to do some practical devotional service? So they said, you would like to do some practical devotional service. So they called him that, okay, come, all of you please come. So they got into an emergency room where this lady was there. And they all, these Chinese devotees, imagine now this lady coming from Nagpur, this devotee is coming from China, and all of them are sitting around this lady, chanting the holy name. One of the Matajis from the China devotee, she was holding the hand of this lady, whom she knew, did not know who she was. And actually they were chanting. And then this lady, after some time, she actually left her body. So you cannot imagine who will get what kind of mercy. So if we want that kind of mercy, it may not happen. We may not get that kind of warning in advance. But at least our efforts can be there, so that, you know, we can help somebody. So that will really please Srila Prabhupada and the Lord. So basically now this Bhagavatam is all about this verse. I can conclude that it is all about perfect questions, perfect answers, and perfect end. That is how we can think about this particular verse. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna, for your patience. Hare Krishna.